All right, so a couple things tonight. One is, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. We've been working our way through, I don't know if you've noticed this, we've worked our way through Judges, and then we worked through Ruth, and now we're in 1 Samuel. And been good stuff, and continually reminded that God has a purpose for His Word. He has a plan. Sometimes we don't know, or we can't grasp quite what He's saying or doing, or where He's headed with something, but He's always got something, because the Word of God is, it's living and it's powerful. And so we've been looking at the life of Saul, and spending time thinking about King Saul, the first king of Israel. And he had some interesting things that happened, and things that he did, and he gives us some insight in this passage tonight into his character. And his character is going to become more and more revealed as we go through the book, because basically kind of what we've said here is that God builds character within us so that we can do the job that He has for us. Okay? God's not going to give a significant job to someone with character that isn't developed and isn't, you know, they're not ready. Now, we might do that. Okay? Sometimes we put people into positions that we should not, but God will not put people into positions until they are where they need to be, and that means we need to grow. You know, we passed out a bunch of the, I don't have any Bible reading plans up here, but we passed out a bunch this morning, and if you didn't get one, there's still a few, I think, on the table out here. There were some on the table. I think there's some on the back table, so but they're the blue cover. And, you know, however you read the Bible this year, you know, I'm good with it, but get a plan and read your Bible every day. It's your spiritual food. It's what's going to help you and build you to be the person you need to be and want to be. And all right. So let's take this 14th chapter. Now, we're jumping right in the middle of the story here. So chapter 14, we looked at the first 23 verses, basically, the last time we were together on a Sunday evening. And there what happened is Jonathan, the son of Saul, and Jonathan is the bright spot in that family. You know, he is just a shining light in that family. We'll see more of that when David comes along. Jonathan knew the Philistine army was out there. The Philistines were coming against Saul, and Saul was not a good leader. He was not a good general. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go, and we're just going to see what God will do." Remember that? And they went, and they went to a hillside, and they said, if the Philistines up here on this garrison, if they call down to us to come up, we'll know that's the Lord telling us, go up. But if they, you know, if they don't say come up, we'll know that's the Lord, and we won't go up." And so, well, the Philistines said, "Oh, look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes. They're coming out of hiding. Come on up here. We'll show you a thing or two." And Jonathan said, "Up, there it is." And they took off up that climb and up that steep hillside. They got up to the top, and there wasn't no, conferencing. There wasn't any negotiations. It was on, and they started fighting and killed about 20 Philistines right there in a very small area. And the whole Philistine army, as a result of this, just kind of got spooked. And the Lord, you know, did this, but He used Jonathan and his armor bearer. And his armor bearer was with him all the way. That's a good part of the story, you know. He said, "I'm with you, heart and soul, you know, I'm with you, and I'm right behind you." You know, had a fellow tell me one time, said, "Pastor, I'm with you all the way." He said, "In fact, if you go over a cliff, you better be careful, because I'm going to be coming over right behind you." Well, I mean, there are limits, but anyway. All right. So as we come now to the story, the battle has kind of been fought, and the Israelites have won. They've defeated the Philistines, which is significant because the Philistines were very powerful at this time. They were very strong, and they pretty much kept the Israelites from being able to arm themselves, to have adequate weapons. And so this is a very significant victory. But we're going to pick up in verse 24. And we're going to see that Saul reveals himself a little bit more here by the restriction that he places on the army. And boy, sometimes, you know, when you don't have a good general, you don't have a good leader, it makes it tough on the privates and the sergeants and the guys in the ranks. And that's what happens here. Well, if you found your place, 1 Samuel 14:24, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day.' And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, 'My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more, if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?' And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, and took sheep and oxen and calves, and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, 'Behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood.' And he said, 'Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day.' And Saul said, 'Disperse among yourselves, or yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me hither every man his ox and every man his sheep, and slay them here, and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood.' And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, 'Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them unto the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them.' And they said, 'Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee.' Then said the priest, 'Let us draw near hither unto God.' And Saul asked counsel of God, 'Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel?' But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, 'Draw ye near hither, and the chief of the people, and know, and see wherein this sin hath been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be my son in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die.' But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, 'Be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side.' And the people said unto Saul, 'Do what seemeth good unto thee.' Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, 'Give a perfect lot.' And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, 'Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son,' and Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, 'Tell me what thou hast done.' And Jonathan told him and said, 'I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die.' And Saul answered, 'God do so, and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan.' And the people said unto Saul, 'Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day.' So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, help us tonight to hear it, understand, and to learn from it. Lord, teach us, lead us, guide us, Father. And help us to honor you and to love you with all of our hearts. Help us to trust you. Lord, help us to learn from Saul's poor example. Father, help us to see in others what lessons we need to learn. And Father, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, so the battle is begun, and Saul is, I don't know, but the way I picture this is Saul is saying, oh, there goes my army. I better get out there in front of them. And so he issues an order. And he says, fellas, until our victory is won today, until this evening, no one is going to eat. We're going to fast all day long. You know, the favorite Baptist expression of spiritual disciplines, you know, fasting. My wife's disagreeing with me. No, I'm in trouble now. Well, yeah, it's not one that we're really, you know, looking for. That's not the one that, you know, mostly we really like. Now, we do it from time to time. I think it's important. I think it's a good thing to fast. But there's times to fast, and there's times to work or to fight or to pray or whatever it may be. Now, prayer and fasting, obviously, that does go together. But fighting and fasting. And I think that gives us a little insight into fasting. When you do a fast, I think you need to be careful about what it is that you're involved with that day. You know, there's some activities and some things that are going to lend themselves to being successful in fasting. But there's some things that you might be doing that, you know, you'd be better off to say, you know, I'm going to wait until I have more of an ability to focus on the Lord. And, as I look at Saul, it feels like he's trying to use a spiritual discipline, a good thing for the wrong reason. And sometimes that happens. You know, people, if I give this money, then God's going to do something, you know, he's going to give me something back or, you know, whatever. Amen. That's quite an entrance right there. If you ever thought I'm just going to slip right here in the back. We're glad you're here. We don't care. We don't care. Sometimes people use spiritual things to try to get good with God. Try to get blessings from God by doing something. Well, I mean, there are things that we do that He blesses. There are things that He's promised that He will bless. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All your needs will be met when you put Jesus first. Well, those are promises from God's Word. But Saul is taking fasting here, and he's trying to put this into play as he's going out into battle and saying, well, this is going to help us win this battle. And you know, what was really going to help him win this battle was trusting God. Just believing God. Just putting faith in God. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not that it's hard to please God. It is impossible. You cannot do it. So Saul sends his army out, and he tells them, don't eat anything. Well, okay. But as you can imagine, you know, this is not just like trench warfare. This is active movement. These guys are they're crossing over. They're covering a lot of territory, a lot of ground. It's rough ground. They're fighting. I mean, there's a lot of energy being expended here. And so what inevitably happens is, as the day progresses, God is giving the victory. But Saul is minimizing the victory because of the restriction that he's placed on his army. And so we need to be sure that we're walking with God, we're trusting God, we're believing God, we're hearing from God, and we're not minimizing, we're not dead weight, that God's pulling along as He's working. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been there, and I know I've done it. And we want to be listening to Him, and we want to be responding. We want to be walking in the power of the Spirit and doing the things He's got for us to do. So these people are fighting all day long. And I'm sure, you know, about mid-morning, they start thinking about that second breakfast. And, you know, I don't even know what comes next. Elevensies. I mean, that's a significant meal. And, you know, and then you've got lunch. And then you've got afternoon tea. And I mean, you know, it just goes on. All right. So that's where we are. Now, here's the interesting part of this story to me. Notice what happens here, because God heard Saul's order. And what do you think God said? Oh, that's what you're going to pull, huh? Okay. Well, we'll just see about that. And so here's what God does. Verse 26. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. I mean, they walked into some woods, and suddenly there was just honey dripping out of the trees, running down on the ground. Well, hadn't God told them He was going to lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey? That's the only place I know of where it flowed with honey, or the only place in Scripture that it says that it flowed with honey. But it was flowing with honey that day. And they weren't able to enjoy God's blessing. This was God's blessing. This was God's provision. And they were following some man-made constraint, something that Saul said, and they couldn't even enjoy what God was putting into them. And you know, if you've ever eaten fresh honey, I mean, that's wonderful stuff. If you've ever chewed on a little bit of honeycomb, man, that's good stuff. Well, but all these people, here they were, they're walking through the woods and probably having honey dripping down on them. And they're like, having to wipe it off or go wash in the stream, whatever it was. And, you know, that would have been a trial. I mean, you're hungry. You're getting hungry. You've been fighting and very active and you're hungry now, and then you enter into this wood and there's honey everywhere. Well, Jonathan didn't get the order. Jonathan was out fighting the battle. He was out winning the battle while Saul was giving orders, and he didn't hear about it. And so when he got to the wood, he said, "Oh, honey, that's awesome. Dipped his stick in there. Man, that's good." And you remember what it says? It said his eyes brightened up. I mean, it just perked him right up. And, well, think about that. It would have perked up the whole army of Israel. But no. And they all come to him. "Well, your father said we shouldn't eat today until evening." Well, notice Jonathan's answer here. Verse 29. "Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines?" They won a victory that day, but their victory could have been even greater. You know, sometimes I think we we're winning the victory. We're winning the battle as Christians. And yet our victory could be much greater than it is. God could do much more in us if only we were listening to Him, walking with Him, giving Him the first place in our life. Well, Jonathan just, you know, he just tells it like it is. So notice what we see here. Basically what it says is that the people were faint. I've lost that verse. 31? Yes, thank you. People were very faint. They, you know, they had really expended themselves. They poured out themselves. They had given so much, and they became faint. They were really having trouble. And so evening finally arrived. And what happens? Man, I'm starving. Let's find something to eat. Well, they had captured a great deal of spoil that day from the Philistines. They had oxen, they had sheep, they had calves, they had a good supply of livestock. Now, you got to realize, you know, today we're blessed with meat. You know, you can walk into your store and you can have a nice selection of fresh meat. Just pretty much whatever you want, you can find it in our stores. We're blessed. And you don't have to go slaughter it and process it yourself and do all that work. You go in there and it's all done for you and everything. Yeah, it's nice. Now, you know, it's interesting when you go to India because they also have meat over there, but not quite so nice. Because you drive down the street through the marketplaces and they'll have big old chunks of meat out there just laying on the tables. And, yes, sir. Yeah. We saw it in Israel. They had one big old table when we were in Israel in the whole city. Nothing but goat tongue. Just big old tongues just stacked up. I'm sure it was quite appetizing to somebody. I didn't buy any, Georgia. We did find a hamburger in the old city there. But it was, I believe, a goat burger or something of that stripe. And it was, if it had been grilled, it probably would have been okay. But it wasn't very, we were really, by that point, we were ready for some real American food. And anyway. All right. Well, so the people were faint. And boy, when it came time when they could eat, it says they, get the picture here, verse 32. And the people flew upon the spoil. I mean, they were in a hurry. They were like some of y'all, you get hungry. You just know you got to eat or you're about to die. Or you think you are. And so as a result, what they didn't do when they slaughtered those animals, they did not drain the blood as the law prescribed. The law of Moses said, you shall not eat the blood. The life is in the blood. Don't eat the blood of that animal. Drain that blood. And so, you know, they had certain prescribed ways they were to do that. Today, the Jews still have their prescribed ways of you know, slaughtering meat and draining that blood out, making sure it's all out. Well, they weren't doing that. And they were just cooking it up and probably eating it pretty rare with the blood still in it. And no doubt they were wrong. But their king had pushed them into this in some way. And he bore some responsibility for their actions. Well, word came back to King Saul. Notice, then they told Saul, verse 33, behold, the people sin against the Lord in that they eat with the blood. And he said, oh, you have transgressed. And you have, you know, you've done wrong here. And so bring a great stone and bring your animals here and we're going to drain the blood. And they set that up. And then it says that he built an altar. This was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. But if you remember back in chapter 13, you remember that in the story there, Samuel had told him that he was coming and to wait on him. He was going to offer the sacrifices. But he didn't come, and he didn't come, and he didn't come, and Saul was panicked, and he finally said, "Oh, I've got to offer these sacrifices because my army is just about to desert and leave here, and so I'm going to do it." Now, Saul was not a priest; he was not of the tribe of Levi; he was of the tribe of Benjamin, and it was not his place, it was not his responsibility, it was not his right to do this, and so. He offered the sacrifices, and when Samuel got there, Samuel was upset. I mean, Samuel was an old man at this point, but he's upset with him. He says, "What have you done?" "Well, I saw that you had delayed, and I forced myself, and I did this." Well, now, here's one key difference today. The Bible says that every child of God is a priest unto the Lord. The Bible calls us a kingdom of priests. That's an interesting thought. We're all priests. Some of you look at the preacher, the pastor, and you think, "Oh, that's the guy who's supposed to be, the spiritual leader, and he's the one we have a meal, he ought to be the one to pray, or he ought to do this." Well, that's not really the case at all. In the New Testament, what we find is that there's no certain class of people that are above all the other believers. But God's chosen all of us to be His priest. And what a priest does is a priest comes into the presence of God to offer worship and to pray and to seek the Lord. And sometimes he does that on behalf of other people. And so, as you and I are priests of the living God, you have an opportunity and you have an obligation even to enter into God's presence, not just for your own sake, but for the needs of others. And I want to encourage you to do that, to be faithful to do that. Well, so here we go. Let's finish this up. Saul built the altar and then verse 36, Saul says, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them." Now you got to remember, his army has just fought all day. They fasted and fought all day. They finally got a meal. And now he says, "Let's go get them at nighttime." Now there's some issues with night fighting. There's some struggles there. And, we got equipment today. We got night vision equipment and stuff that our soldiers have but boy, this would be a challenge. Well, now notice the response of the people here. And they said, "Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee." Now, I don't want to read too much into this, but I kind of interpret this like when I want to do something and I say to my wife and she says, "Well, if that's what you want to do." And all of a sudden you got ding, 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 ding. Warning, warning, warning. Red flags, it's like if you do this, you're really dumb. Because your wife said, go ahead and do it, but she really didn't mean. She's all on board. We got a testimony on this? That's kind of the way I take this. Is the people, whatever you want to do, whatever seems good to you, do it. And so they were willing to go along with Saul. And but the priest pops up at this point. And the priest says, "Let us draw near hither unto God. Let's pray about this. Let's seek the Lord about this. Let's get what God wants us to do." Well, that's a great word, and that's needed, at all times. But Saul, verse 37, asked counsel of God. "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them?" into the hand of Israel, but he answered him not that day. God didn't answer. God had no response. And so Saul's interpretation of that was, well, there's sin in the camp. We've got sin in the camp, and we've got to deal with it because God has suddenly gone silent. And so, it's interesting the way Saul goes about this. Verse 38, Saul said, "Draw ye near hither all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan, my son, he shall surely die." Now, why was he singling out Jonathan right off the bat? Well, I don't have all the answers to that, but I think that it could very possibly be that Saul knew that Jonathan had won this battle this day. Jonathan was the one who stepped out when everybody else was hiding in caves and under rocks. Jonathan is the one who said, "Let's go. Let's go fight and see what God will do. Let's see what God will do." And God did a great victory. I think Saul, I mean, here he is. Remember King Saul? He's head and shoulders above all the people. He's taller than anybody in Israel. But he is not out leading his troops. He's not out fighting and inspiring those men and leading them into victory. He is behind, directing from behind. He's leading from behind. And granted, there may be times militarily that's wise or that's needed, but there also needs to be leadership out front. And Jonathan was that. And Saul immediately says, even if it's Jonathan. Now, I don't know if he knew that there was something there, if he knew that Jonathan was the one, or if he just knew that Jonathan was why they were being successful that day. But Jonathan is his own son. And that's troubling. You know, that's just troubling when you read that and you think about that. Well, so he said, "Separate out." You notice at the end of verse 39, nobody answered. The people were quiet. They were silent. They didn't say a word. Verse 40, he said to all Israel, "You gather on one side, and Jonathan and I will be over here on the other side." So, you know, it's pretty apparent. He's got an agenda here. And the people again said to Saul, "Do what seemeth good unto thee." If that's what you think you need to do, you do it. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, "Give a perfect lot." They cast lots. And that was one of the ways that they used in those times to try to discover God's will. Now you say, well, why don't we do that today? Because we've been given the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us. We don't have to walk in the dark. We have the Word of God in its entirety, and we have the Spirit of God indwelling us if you're a child of God, if you're saved. So, well, do what seems good to you, Saul. And so he says, cast the lot and ask the Lord for a perfect lot, a revealing answer to this question. And the lot fell upon Saul and Jonathan, and the people were not indicted here. And so they cast lots between Saul and Jonathan, and Jonathan was taken. And Saul says to Jonathan, verse 43, "Tell me what you've done." And Jonathan told him, "I ate some honey. And it was really good. You can kill me now." I mean, Jonathan was exemplary in his conduct. Yes, he had obeyed or disobeyed an order of his father, the king, even though he did not know it was an order. He had no knowledge of that. And, you know, I think we're just seeing here that Saul did not have wisdom. Folks, you can walk through life, you can roll through life, and you can have all kinds of knowledge, but if you don't have the wisdom of God, to help you to apply what you know to life, you're going to end up making foolish choices, wrong decisions, and it's going to haunt you. Well, so Jonathan confessed in verse 44. Saul answered. And while he might have said, "Well, son, let's think about this. Let's consider what's right here. And as your king, I have the right to change my order or to undo what's happened here." But he didn't. Saul looks at Jonathan and he says, "God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan." He was ready. He was ready to kill his son. Verse 45, notice, "And the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid." Notice this. "As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Now we would look at that and we would say, you know, that's a just response. That is a right response. And sadly, Saul did not have the wisdom and the ability to see what was right in that moment. Well, we talked this morning. There's a brand new year here that we're facing. And we're each one going to be challenged with some decisions. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be tested. We're going to be pushed around spiritually. And how are we going to respond? Because it's not, we don't get really tested in the middle of Bible study at church, usually. We get tested when we're alone, when we're by ourselves, when we're at night and everything is dark and everything closes in around us and the fears are magnified and everything seems worse. And how are we going to respond? Well, I think it begins with us seeking the wisdom of God. You remember what Solomon did when he became king? When Solomon followed David, his father, and became the king, one of the things that he did was he prayed. And here's what he asked God for. He said, "God, give me wisdom. Because I cannot serve and lead this great people of yours. I need your wisdom." And you remember what happened in answer to that? God said, "You know what? Because you didn't ask for wealth and money and possessions and all these things, because you didn't ask for that," He said, "I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm also going to give you wealth and honor and blessing." He said, "I'm going to do more than you asked." But Solomon's prayer was pure. And you remember the result of that prayer? You remember the women that came before King Solomon? Two women. And both had little babies. And in the night, one of those women rolled over on her baby and suffocated her little baby. The baby died. And the woman looked at that and she thought about it. And so what she did is she took her dead baby and she swapped it with the living baby of the other woman who lived there in the house. And she took the living baby, put the dead baby over there with that other mother. And the morning, the other mother woke up and her baby was dead. But yet when she began to examine and look, it wasn't her baby. Mothers know these things, don't they? Yeah. It was not her baby, and she knew it. But the other woman swore, "Oh yes, this is my baby, the one that's alive." Well, eventually the case went all the way to the Supreme Court of Israel. King Solomon. Remember what Solomon said? He heard the facts of the case. He said, bring me a sword. And I don't know if he did this, but I can almost picture him picking that little baby up by a leg. I mean, you know, not hurting it, but just ready to slice that baby in half. Holding it up and saying, all right, we're going to cut this baby in half and each of you will have half. And the one woman whose child had died said, oh, well, okay, that's a good, you know, that's a good way to do this. Yeah, that'll be good. But the woman whose child it actually was said, oh, no. No, give her the baby. Let her have the baby, but don't kill the baby. And Solomon said, you're the mother of this child. And everybody in Israel saw the wisdom of God in this king, what they did not see in King Saul. Why? You know, I can't answer that. I can't tell you why. Except for some reason, Saul didn't seek the Lord. Saul didn't set his heart and his mind and his soul and his strength on loving God and serving God and being God's man. But you and I have the same question before us tonight. We have the same opportunity and the same critical need. We can be fully God's or we can be fully our own. But the problem is if you decide to walk in your own path and your own wisdom, what you'll find is that at some point you will make decisions that are foolish and that are wrong and that will end up biting you and causing you harm. Well, we want to have the wisdom of God and we want to know His blessing. We want to experience His presence, and we want to follow Him. So I want to ask tonight, as we close in prayer, we just have a simple time of invitation. Let's just take this moment, and let's just surrender every part of our life. Some of you have children. Man, give those kids to the Lord. Most of us have done it. Do it again. Give them to the Lord. Say, oh God, especially if your children are grown. Some of mine are. And, you know, you get to a point where you can't parent your kids anymore. You're done. And that's when you really already should have been, but saying, oh Lord, these are yours. You gave them to me, but Lord, they're yours. Lord, you deal with them. You protect them. You lead them, you guide them, you help them. And Lord, I want to be the heir in their life and I want to be a blessing, but Lord, you work. Some of you have grandchildren, some of you have great grandchildren. And you've got all kinds of opportunities to say, oh Lord, would you just work in my family, work in my, you know, maybe a friend, or maybe there's some other thing that's pressing on your heart tonight, some need, some concern, some worry. You know, why pray when you can worry? I'll encourage you, no, don't live there. Don't dwell on that. Don't do that. Take it to the Lord tonight. And if you haven't asked Him today, oh Lord, I need wisdom. I need Your wisdom for 2017. I need wisdom. Ask Him. Let's bow. Maybe other needs tonight. It could be that you need Christ. You've never been saved. Well, no better time to trust in Jesus than on New Year's Day. I want to invite you to open your heart to Jesus tonight and trust Him. Call on His name. And I'm here. I'd love to pray with you if I can help you in any way. And salvation, or if there's just a spiritual question you have or a need for prayer, I invite you to come. And we're going to spend this moment just seeking the Lord. Now, Father, as we bow in Your presence, Lord, we're thankful for the stories we read. We're thankful for the honesty of Scripture. Lord, we're thankful that You don't gloss over the faults of men and women. We're thankful that You present them as they were. And Lord, it helps us because we can see ourselves there sometimes. And So, Father, would you help us tonight to learn from Saul's life and his story and his failures? And, Lord, we just want to have your wisdom. Lord, not the wisdom of Solomon, but the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we need you tonight. So, God, meet with us in these moments. Help us to humbly surrender ourselves to you. Lord, do a special work in our hearts and in our minds, we pray. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do.